All right, we're in the 12th chapter of Acts, trying to understand the 12th chapter of Revelation. Now, here, you'll recall, Peter is in prison, and the people are praying for him. And the angel of the Lord comes in the middle of the night, wakes Peter up, and says, "Gird thyself." Now, why did he tell him to do that? Well, folks, there has to be a sense of readiness to get out of here. The Bible clearly says this, "Be ye all so ready, for in such an hour as you think not." Do you think that Peter was expecting the angel of the Lord to come that night and deliver him? Absolutely not, because he was asleep. Now, that doesn't mean that he was doing something wrong because he was asleep. No, he was asleep because he was at peace. He said, "Look, if the Lord comes tonight and gets me out of here, fine. If he don't, I'll go tomorrow to be with him." Hey, like that. I'm going to sleep. And so here he is. And the angel of the Lord says, "Gird thyself and follow me." Listen, we need to be following the Lord. Because, folks, there's one way out of here. And that's following him. That's following him. You remember it was the same thing in Exodus. You remember the story of Exodus. And you remember how that when the time for the Passover came, and that was the last plague. You remember that? And they were told to do what with the blood? Huh? Just put it over the doorpost and on the lintels, on the side. And then it goes on to say, now listen, "I want you to prepare the Passover lamb tonight. And I want you to eat every bit of it." Why were they told to eat every bit of it? And what did it say to them when it told them to eat every bit of it? He says, "Oh, and by the way, here's how I want you to eat it." "I want you to eat it with your loins being girded," in other words, your clothes on, "your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, because we're getting out of here." Listen, there's a sense of readiness. Well, here in chapter 12, we're seeing something happen in this great wonder that John has shown. And that great wonder in heaven was what? Well, first it was the woman. You remember that? And the woman, we said, was representative of Israel. And then he saw a second wonder. And the second wonder was a great red dragon. You remember that? And the great red dragon is, well, it tells you on down there who it is. He says that it is that old serpent, the devil, Satan. In other words, I don't want you to miss who this great red dragon is. It is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of God's people. Listen, he's your enemy. And look, I can only speak for me. I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you. I'll let you speak for you. But folks, I'm afraid sometimes that we forget he's our enemy. Because we give place to him in our life. Hey, we do things, bless God, this is Satan. I don't give a rip what you say. We do things, we say things that we know are of the flesh. Well, listen, the flesh is not of God. I can tell you that. The Bible says it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I know without a fact that sometimes we give too much to our enemy. We need to understand he's our enemy. He'll always be our enemy. And he will always be Israel's enemy. Because he's trying to affect the plan of God. You see, sometimes people think this is Satan's power doing all this. Oh, no, absolutely not. Listen, this is God's plan that you're seeing unfolded here, folks. This is God's plan. So we see the great red dragon. And remember what it said about the great red dragon. What did he do first? Go quickly now. Go quickly. Well, now, remember, the woman was in travail with child, in pain to be delivered. And Satan, what's he do? Well, he goes and camps out at the woman, ready to devour her child. Listen, and I told you, all you have to do is read the story of Herod and Herod tried to destroy Christ. Well, that wasn't Herod doing that, folks. Listen, that was Herod being used of Satan, but it was Satan trying to devour the child to affect the plan of God. What was the plan of God? The plan of God was he would send his son to deliver the church, but to deliver Israel. And Satan says, boy, if I can get rid of that son, I stop this thing. You say, no, Satan would never think such a thing. That'd be foolish to think such a thing. Oh, well, listen, he was so stupid to think he could rise above God. Yeah, huh? Listen, anybody thinks they could rise above God and become God is stupid enough to think they could affect God's plan. No. No, not going to happen. Didn't happen then, won't happen next. So then, after that, it talks about him wanting to devour the child. But what does that next verse say? But it says something happens, an event happens. What does it say? And no, no, no. It was the second thing that happened. The first thing was it was born. What does it say? Huh? Thank you, brother. She brought forth a man. Listen, he's there to devour the child, but what does it say? Well, she brought him forth. So I guess Satan didn't do too good, did he? He wanted to stop him, but he didn't stop him because she brought him forth. Now, I know a lot of people think that's the church. That can't be the church because the church didn't bring Christ into the world. Christ came through the Jewish lineage, folks. That's that simple. Listen, Christ birthed the church. The church didn't birth the child. So I know it's talking about Israel there. So then it says, then he was. And remember, we talked about that. There's that space in between there. Why did it talk about his birth and then his leaving? Well, where's all that in between? What's in between there? The church age. The times of the Gentiles. There's no need to talk about that. That's done. That's over. It's not, listen, Israel has no bearing on that. So there's no need to be talking. That's not in this plan. This plan is about the child being born, the child going back to sit at the right hand of the Father, and then Israel, the restoration of Israel. But what happens during the revelation of Jesus Christ and the restoration of Israel? What great event takes place? No. For us, the great event. Huh? Who said that? Who said that? The rapture. In other words, and the rapture simply means that we're taken out of here. Now, I realize that there are different views on when that takes place. And if you've ever heard me teach, you know that I'm not dogmatic, folks. I can't be dogmatic because I'm not dogmatic. But I want to show you something this morning that came to me and it just makes good sense to me, but I'm not asking you to accept it, okay? So take that, if you will. I know there's a pre-trib idea. I get that. And I know that there's a mid-trib idea. And I know that there's a post-trib idea. Now, I can be dogmatic in a dead second about the post-trib. That doesn't fit Scripture. That second one that I gave you sort of fits Scripture, and I'll give it to you. Now, so after that event, after he's taken back up and he ascends to the throne of God, right? Now, what is the next thing mentioned?
The woman fled.
Huh? The woman fled. So it moves you now. It moves you to a different time, right? In other words, the Christ has gone back. But then it immediately moves you to the woman being persecuted and fleeing. And it says she fled into the wilderness to a place that was prepared by God for her. Now, and then after that it says, if y'all would go faster with me, I could go faster, huh? She's fed there for 3.5 years. Now, I know that that's not talking about the first 3.5. All you have to do is follow Scripture. That can't be the first 3.5. So she flees in the middle. Because there's only 7, right? So if it's not the first 3.5, then there's only one other 3.5, right? Yeah. So that's when she flees, in the middle of the tribulation. Now, what's the next thing that says happened? There is war in heaven, it says, and Michael and his angels fought. And the dragon fought. And his angels fought and prevailed. Oh, boy, don't you like that? Not. Huh? They didn't prevail, bless God. They didn't have a chance. And it says, and the dragon, and there was no place found for them. Now, what heaven, Sandy?
God's world.
No. See, we've already had the first one, because up there when it described the great red dragon, he took his tail, took a third with him. Right. That's the first fall. Remember, Jesus even said, I beheld Satan fall. As lightning. Fall. So that's the first fall. This is the second fall of Satan. But this is not the third heaven where he was booted out. He was booted out of the third heaven into the atmospheric heaven, into the first heaven. And folks, there is where he's at right now. Because the Bible says he is the prince and the power of the air. And the Bible says that he has powers and principalities of powers. What does that mean? That means this. He can't be everywhere at once. So he has this hierarchy of government. He has this demonic host. And he has, there's a demon in Nashville. There's a demon in Washington. There's a demon in California. There's a demon over here. There's a demon over there that are over the demon armies. Satan can't be everywhere, but his host covers it all because he's the prince and the power of the air, folks. And so here it says that he fought and he was kicked out of heaven. The atmosphere. And it says, neither was there any place found for him. And it says, and not only was he kicked out of heaven, he was kicked down to earth. Now, what I'm about to tell you, you don't have to believe me. I'm not asking you to. It just came to me. Made a little sense to me. If it makes a little sense to you, fine. If it don't, that's okay too. I won't fall out with you. You won't fall out with me. To me, the Bible says this, that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. That's what it says. That's verbatim. We have been delivered from the wrath to... Now, when is the wrath of God poured out?
After 3.5 years.
Because vials are poured out. And it clearly states it. This is the wrath of God. See, now, so if we've been delivered before the wrath to come, then we got to go either at the beginning of the tribulation or in the middle. Either way, we're out of here before the wrath is poured out, right? Either way. So I don't care if I'm wrong about one and right about the other, or if I'm right about one and wrong about the other. I don't care, because either way, I'm out of here. So, here's what it says, that we've been delivered from the wrath to come. But when Lazarus died and the rich man died, what happened to Lazarus? Huh? Well, you're partially right, brother. You're partially right. He was taken to Abraham's bosom, but by whom? Thank you, brother. Now, you're right. You see, he's partially right. Now you've added the other part. Now you're both right. It says that when Lazarus died, an angel came and
and took him. Why?
Now you're starting to pick this up like that little chicken picking up corn. Because there was this demonic host in the heaven, and he had to have, bless God, an escort out of here. He had to have protection out of here. It doesn't say a thing about the rich man. He just went to the grave and to the hell. He didn't have to have an escort. They already had him. But Lazarus got this escort. And I tell you the reason I believe that. You remember when Elisha and they were surrounded by all these armies, and Elisha's servant said, "Oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? Oh my word, we can't overcome this." And Elisha said, "Lord, if you would just let him see." Paraphrased, "Let him see." And boy, all of a sudden, glory. He looks up. I mean, the mountains were full of angels with fiery chariots. Elisha says, "Now, son, what do you think? You think we're in bad shape?" Huh? Listen, but anyway, that was the idea. But folks, when the church gets ready to go, God don't want any problems. God don't want anything happening to his children as he's bringing his children home. So he says, "I tell you what I'm going to do. Before I call them out of here." Now, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just teaching what I come to me. You do what you want to. He says, "Before I get them out of here, Michael, you and a bunch of these angels go down there, bless God, and you clear it out. You clear out that heaven. I don't want anything interfering when I say come up here. I don't want nothing interfering with them. You go down there and get rid of every one of them." And there's not a one of them left at the end of this. It's what it says, bless God. No, listen, Satan and his angels are cast out, and they are cast to the earth. They're cast to the earth. Now, if Satan can't operate in the heaven, and he's a spirit, he's got serious trouble. How's he going to operate? Well, if you go back and read the Old Testament, remember, and I went back and read it to you, and if you'll follow, so there's a madness to the way I teach, folks, but I tell you, if you take this little piece and put it in there, if you take this little piece and put it in there, pretty soon the picture starts coming clear to you. Remember, I took you back over there, and I showed you about the Prince of Tyrus and the King of Tyrus. And I showed you about the king of Babylon, and we had someone, I don't remember who it was. Oh, yeah, it was Dorothy. See, y'all think I can't remember that. I can't accept this. Listen, my wife will tell you, my mind's shot, except when I'm in here. Bless God, my mind says, glory, it's the best I've ever had. This stuff just comes to me, and I praise God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking any credit. But, boy, I tell you, the Lord, just it's like a moving picture for me. But anyway, he says, I'm going to show you the king of Babylon, little K. Remember the little K? He says, "Now I'm going to show you the king of Tyrus, little K." And he gives descriptions that couldn't be a man because it says he was in Eden. Well, we know it's not Adam. Adam's gone. Right? So the only one left is Satan. It has to be Satan. And it's Satan operating through these. Listen, that's why when you get on over here and you see the seven heads and the ten horns and the ten crowns upon the Antichrist, and you see that Satan, and he was described as having seven heads and seven crown and seven ten horns and seven crowns on his heads, and all that has to do with power. But when he's kicked to the earth, he can't operate in the spirit. Because remember, he can't be everywhere at once now. He's got a problem. So now he's got to have a way of operating. Now, when you remember when Jesus came to the shore of Gadara? You remember that? And this man came running to him, fell down and worshiped him. And he was full of demons. And Jesus said, "Who art thou?" And the man said, "We are legions, for we are." Well, now, come on. You know it's not the man talking, because the man's only one. He's not many. Yeah. But the demons was talking through the man. The man's mouth was moving. I'll guarantee the man said,
"Well, we are demons, for we our name is Legion, for we are many."
Now, I say, "You, Tom, you've been watching too many movies." Well, I watched the parts of The Omen. Y'all ever watch that? Hey, Damon, I play golf with this guy named Damon. It sort of scares me. But, so that's what's going to happen. When he's kicked to this earth, now he's got to have a way to operate. Well, guess what follows chapter 12? Well, thank you, honey. I'll tell you what, you're as smart as you can be. 13 follows 12, and it follows 12 for a reason. Bless God, because it says, "And I stood on the sands of the sea, and out of the sea came a beast, a man, the Antichrist." But it's not going to be a man, although it's a man. He's not going to operate as a man, because when you read on over in 13, you'll see, "And the dragon gave power to the beast," to the man. So now he can't operate in the heavens because he's been booted out. Now he's got to try to find a way to operate because he's still got a plan of his own. God's sort of laughing at it, but he's got his plan, so he's got this man. So that's why, you know, it sort of makes sense to me. If you were mid-trib, I wouldn't argue with you. If you're pre-trib, I wouldn't argue with you. I wouldn't argue with you anyway. But it sort of makes sense that if God's going to clear out the heavens, we're going up. We're going up. No more problems. No more problems. So, now, what's the very next thing that happens? When he's kicked to the earth, what does it say? If y'all go faster now, I can go faster. Do what, eh? His angels are cast out with him. So why is that important?
Well, that's because he has the army.
Think about it. If Satan's got to operate inside a man, what's his demons going to have to operate? Oh, now you're starting to pick it up. Listen, Satan's going to have his army of men, folks, of men. But they're going to be demon-possessed. If you want to live here when it's hell on earth, and you know I hear this, and I know, look, I know people say things. I've said flippant things in my lifetime. I get all that. I don't mean that disparagingly. But, folks, I hear people say, "Well, it was hell on earth." No. I'm going to tell you when it's going to be hell on earth. When hell gets here. When Satan gets on this earth, then there's going to be hell on this earth. But praise God, I'm not going to be here. Praise God, I'm out of here. I don't care. Let them have hell on this earth, because I'm going to have heaven. I've chosen heaven, folks. This is about decision time. It's about deliverance. I've been delivered. I'm going out of here. I don't know when I'm going. Now, I won't come in here and tell you, I just know I'm going. Now, I'll leave it up to God when I go. I think he's got it figured out pretty good, don't you, Becky? So, it says, these angels come down. Now, they're operating in man. Why do you think you're going to have so many wars? Folks, please understand me, and don't think that I'm a cruel person. Why do you think there's so much evil in the world right now? My goodness gracious. If you don't think Satan's influence is on this world, you're not thinking and you're not looking and you're not listening. But imagine what it's going to be like when he's here. I'm glad I won't be here. I'm glad. So then what does it say happens? Come on, quickly now. Huh? Oh, boy, something happens now, honey. He's kicked to earth, and you know what they're doing in heaven? They're rejoicing, praise God. Hey, For the enemy of us has been kicked down. The one who constantly,
and hey, I can't blame him for everything because I give him ammunition sometimes, folks. I'm going to put it right where you can put it where you want. I'll put it right here. But you know, Satan goes to God all the time. That's what the Bible says. He's constantly doing what? Huh? Accusing the brethren. You know what that means? I do something stupid. I say something stupid. No. I do something sinful. And I say something sinful. And you know what he does? He makes a beeline to God and says, did you see him? I told you. Look at him. I told you you couldn't do nothing for him. Constantly. But you know what my father does? He looks over to the son. Woo! Glory! Huh? He looks over to the son. He says, son, is Tommy boy yours? Oh, glory. He said, yeah, father, he's mine, that fool. Oh, glory, don't you like it? When he says, yeah, he's mine. And the father says, Satan, get out of here. That's my boys. He's forgiven. And I'll bring it up with him later. I'll take it up with him. Yeah, that's how you do children, isn't it? When you do, you know, when they're misbehaving, when they're out, you know, then they sort of embarrass you. Yeah, I say, my children never embarrass me. Oh, come on, please. You've embarrassed your children, and they've embarrassed you. Come on, let's get real. But we say, when I get you, hey, I'll deal with you later. Yeah, but you don't go over to the booth beside you if you're out eating somewhere to a perfect stranger and say, hey, would you take care of my boy? He's misbehaving. Would you take care of my girl? She's misbehaving. No, it's your boy. It's your girl. And you're going to deal with them. Well, listen, I'm God's. And you, later on, you're going to see it's going to be written in my forehead so nobody can mistake it. Huh? God's. I like that. Bless God. Right here. It's going to be right here. So then he says there's rejoicing in heaven because the accuser of the brethren hath been cast out. But immediately, boy, I mean just like that, it turns. You know, sometimes we're too quick, folks, to give out the rejoicing in heaven. And bless God, we're not giving out the woe on earth. It says, but woe, woe. Listen, that's not a positive term. That's not a good thing. When God says woe to to the inhabitants of the earth. Now listen, the inhabitants of the earth, you know who that is? They don't belong to God. They've chosen Satan. They've chosen this life. They've chosen this world. I went to a friend of mine. His wife passed away this week. And I went to the funeral home Thursday night. And I just went up and put my arm around him. I said, Russ. I said, little Shuri. She has a better life than we have, in a better world than we live. And she's not away from the Lord. She's present with him. If that's not better, I don't know what is. But there are those folks who have chosen this life over that life. They have chosen, as it says in Hebrews, as Moses chose just the opposite. He chose to be with the people of God than to be with the people of Satan for just a season. Moses knew that this is temporary. And I realize, hey, you can try to have a good life here and you can live it up and, you know, boy, and just have a party. But folks, the party will end. The breath will be gone. The eyes will be closed.
the casket will be closed. But you and I will open our eyes somewhere, take our breath somewhere, the instant we take our last one here. It's a matter of where. And it's a matter of where you choose. They chose to be inhabitants of the earth. And what does it say to them? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he hath been cast down to earth. And not only is he wroth, he makes a beeline for Israel. He gets this army up. It's called a flood. It's not talking about water. If you read flood throughout scriptures, it's talking about an army. Because how's he operating? Huh? Inside men. So he creates this army and he goes after Israel. But he can't get Israel. Why? Because God says that I have lifted her up on the wings of an eagle. Sort of like me at the red light. You say, Tom, I've heard enough about the red light. Well, I ain't told it enough. Hey, like that. You may have heard it enough, but I ain't told it. Listen, if I told it for eternity, I ain't told it enough. That I come up to a red light in Orlando, Florida, lost as a ball in high weeds. But the Holy Spirit said, son, don't go through that red light without me, or you're done. Guess what? The light changed, and so did I. Woo, glory, don't you like that? You say, Tom, that's pretty quick. No, I was changed before that red light did. That's how quick I got changed, huh? And I got a new name. Saved. I got a new name, saved. And so here he goes after Israel. But Israel is born up to a place that's prepared for her. And Satan can't get her. And so he turns his attention to, come on now, that last verse he says, and he was wroth and he went after the remnant of her seed. Who would that be? Huh? Well, but let's be specific, because it's specific. See, Israel, he's already tried to get Israel as a whole. But they've been taken to a place that's prepared for them. So now he's turned his attention to another group.
Because the ones that kept the commandments of God.
Yeah, well, who is that, honey? We got to identify them. You can't just say that. I must make you identify them. Come on.
I must have help.
I must have help. I must have help. Anybody remember chapter 7? No, don't you dare turn back there. I will not allow that. I said, does anybody remember? I didn't say, can anybody turn back and she's looking at notes, going to 7. I said, does anybody, now I even got a teacher back here teaching her son how to cheat in a test. But crying out loud, what kind of class is this? Does anybody remember chapter 7? Yeah, after I looked, it's just come right back to me. You remember he said he goes and he chooses 12,000 from 12 tribes. The 144,000. And what are they told to do? Oh, they're told to go preach. And boy, have they been preaching. Now, who else was a preacher? There was... I knew y'all get. I stick up them two fingers. I knew you'd get in a second. It's sort of like the doctor says, how many fingers have I got up? They had two witnesses. What were they told to do? Preach. And you remember when John eat the book? You remember that? When he eat the book, the word. And what was he told to do? Preach, bless God. He says, you're going to have to go preach. Listen, every week I try to preach. I told my brother this week, I told him, I'll give him that message. I told him, I said, if you can't preach this, you need to turn in your license. Bless God. I said, get your clothes on. We got to get out of here. Brother, you can preach that. Get your clothes on. We got to get out of here. Listen, folks, We got to be ready. We're going to get out of here. You say, Tom, when? Maybe before I get done. I don't know. But we're getting out of here. But then he turns his attention to that 144,000. And he's angry with them. And he overcomes them. Huh? Well, you gotta give me something to make me believe that. Oh, I ain't talking that's a general term. I could say that about anything. But if you said, Tom, if you go over and read verse 1 of chapter 14, you'd see that when Jesus stands on the Mount Zion, bless God, there was 144,000 with him. So I guess he don't get them either. I'm going to tell you something. Satan fell from the third heaven. Satan falls from the first heaven. He's cast to earth. Where's his next fall from? Earth. Earth. Because you remember on over there, you're going to see that there was this war. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they make this war. And they are taken and they are placed into the abyss. They are placed into the abyss. And their army, now I want you to see, because see, remember I told you that they're operating in a man and that the armies are made up of men. But the false prophet and the beast are not killed. They're just taken. And they are cast into the abyss. But the army that followed them, the men, the inhabitants of the earth, those that decided to follow Satan and his demonic hosts, it says, they are killed with the sword which came from the mouth of the Lord. And then it says, an angel comes down with the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And Satan is bound with that chain and he is cast into the abyss for 1,000 years. There'll be 1,000 years of peace on earth. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, will reign in Jerusalem on the throne of David. And we'll go up, it says, and we'll hear him teach for 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, just to show you folks that this social thing that they've got, this social gospel that they've got, that if we could just make circumstances better, and don't get me wrong, please, I beg you with all my heart, I hate it when I see a child that is being abused. I hate it to see a child when it's in poverty. I hate to see all these things happen. But folks, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes as a Prince of Peace and does away with this curse that we live under, it's going to continue right on. But one day, he's going to be over there. And we're going to go up and listen to him. That's why I'll show it to you when I get there. Bless God, I'll show it to you right out of God's Word. If it's out of God's Word, it's true. We're going to go up there and we're going to listen. But even with the Lord reigning here on this earth in a time of peace, at the end of the 1,000 years, God's going to show that it's not about your heart on the outside. It's about your heart on the inside. It's not about your circumstances on the outside. It's about the content of the heart on the inside. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be loosed. And what's the very first thing he does? He gets up an army, bless God, to go against God's people. And then, come on in, you won't bother me. And then the end, fire comes down. They're all destroyed. Satan's cast into hell. Hallelujah. Blup, blup, blup. That's all, folks.